This week in Linux, we got a lot to cover across many projects. It's an exciting week. First off, cache-aware scheduling for Linux version 3 has been patched and proposed. Intel engineer Tim Chen released the third version of the cache-aware scheduling patches for the Linux kernel. This is an exciting update as this set of patches and improvements is aimed to produce a boost in performance for modern multi-core AMD and Intel CPUs. This matters because reducing cache misses and improving performance in multi-core systems will give us performance gains. The goal of the patch series is to aggregate tasks sharing data to the same cache domain, thereby reducing the cache bouncing and cache misses and improve data access efficiency. In the current implementation, threads within the same process are considered as entities and potentially share resources. Basically, these are major improvements to how Linux schedules tasks on CPUs that offer multiple last level caches, also known as LLCs. The two things that this version 3 patch set focused on is aggregation of tasks during wake up led to load imbalance. Load balancing tried to even out the load balance between LLCs, and wake up task aggregation happened at a faster rate, and load balancing moved tasks to opposite directions. These Linux patches are going to make our CPUs a little bit more aware and smarter on how they run tasks. Basically, they're going to try to keep related tasks on the same shared cache. This will reduce the cache misses and improve overall performance on multi-core AMD and Intel CPUs. Overall, with these sets of patches in Linux, we'll get faster performance, less task shuffling, and better use of CPU cache, at least in the AMD and Intel CPUs, with advanced cache topologies. Exciting updates, as always, to Linux. We'll keep following on this one. Let's continue on. Arch Linux is switching its Wine and Wine staging packages to WoW 64-only builds, which will run 32-bit Windows apps on 64-bit Linux systems without needing the 32-bit libraries. It's a big announcement, as this will help simplify Wine packaging by removing the dependency of the 32 multi-lib libraries. It also aligns with the upstream Wine's future direction and creates a cleaner architecture for running Windows apps on Linux. Now, there are some caveats here, as they label some potential issues. OpenGL performance and known limitation of the new WoW 64 mode is reduced performance for 32-bit applications that use OpenGL directly. Also, breaking changes, existing 32-bit prefixes needs to be recreated. If you are facing any issues with the 32-bit prefixes, please recreate these and reinstall the application. This is an exciting change, as packaging Wine becomes simpler and will make for faster updates and better integration on Arch Linux. Let me know if you're excited. Let's move into talking about Servo, the experimental web browser. But before we do, take a moment and subscribe below. You wouldn't want to miss another video like this. YouTube can get finicky. Also, make sure to smash that like button on the way back up. Servo, an experimental web browser engine originally developed by Mozilla, is receiving some important updates. Big improvements were made to things like web content, including new animated GIFs and SVG files are now supported. Input fields like the input type color now function as expected. Major work on incremental layout reduces full page rendering. We also have some improvements to embedding, including better styling defaults and light and dark theme support for embedded content, and dev tool inspector improvements to make debugging easier for developers. All exciting. Finally, in the performance and stability categories, we have lower GPU memory usage because of better image caching, smaller binary size right at around 2 megabytes by stripping the DOM code, a fix for wide range of layout bugs, crashes, and memory safety issues, and an ongoing transition to Velo for faster 2D canvas rendering. It's awesome to see how Servo is maturing from a research project as a serious option for niche browsers. This is a big deal for projects who are trying to build secure, lightweight web browsers or applications with embedded web views without having to use the dominant Chromium-based browsers today. Servo's continued momentum is a good sign for the future of web browser innovation and choice. Good luck to the team over at Servo. Big news for Zed Editor. A fast, modern code editor written in Rust has finally added in debugging support. After around 8 months and over 1,000 commits, Zed now supports debugging in Rust, C, C++, JavaScript, Go, Python out of the box, and can work with tools like GDB or LLDB. This is a very awesome and probably the most requested feature from its users, as it is now officially merged. As Zed is still in development, we can at least start using the debugger now. And here we can see the current state of the debugger and people using the debugger. I'm going to post a link in the description below so you can check this out for yourself. Currently, the videos aren't working, so I can't play them for you. But it is really cool to see how they've added the support in. This brings the Zed Editor way closer to its 1.0 release, making it a serious alternative for things like VS Code. It's super exciting to see, and I'm going to be trying to use it myself here in the near future and reviewing how things work on Linux. And if you want to level up your Linux experience today, get my checklist, cheat sheet, and my map at savvynick.com. Let's continue right along with Godot updates. So Godot, a free and open source game engine that you can use to make 2D and 3D games, known for being beginner-friendly, lightweight, and flexible, has released 4.5 Beta 1. In this snapshot, it brings a ton of improvements and bug fixes. We're going to go through some of those real quick for those of you who want to check this out on your own. I'm going to post a link in the description below because there's a lot to go through. But new features include improved animation tools, including a user experience improvement when using the tools, better video and audio support, scripting improvements for GD script and C# shader and rendering upgrades, editor polish, and platform enhancements, including to Wayland. That's right, their focus on Wayland on Linux. Rateo has been on a quest to turn Wayland into a true replacement for the X11 protocol. The biggest reason to not switch over to the default implementation, the lack of native sub-windows, is no longer a concern thanks to this GitHub merge. Now users can truly take advantage of multi-windows output, regardless of display protocol. This has been solved. The next step will be to implement an in-game window embedding to have a full parity with X11 flavor of the editor. Rateo already started that work on this next GitHub pull request. It's cool to see this development for Linux desktop environments. As Wayland is the future of Linux displays, major distributions like Fedora, Ubuntu are moving more and more towards Wayland. And it's exciting to see this in Godot as it's keeping up with Linux's future, moving towards Wayland. Great work by the devs. Super exciting to see these updates. Moving on to a desktop environment, Plasma 6.4 was just released a couple days ago. This new version of Plasma has a bunch of updates, including some highlights here. We now have more flexible tiling. Choose a different tile layout for each of your virtual desktops. That's pretty cool for people using workspaces or virtual desktops. You can now have different types of tile layout depending on which one you're using. New Spectacle. Spectacle gets an overhaul and is even more awesome. Spectacle now has a faster screenshot flow, better recording quality, and even cleaner design. KRunner also gets color. Enter a color code in any notation and let KRunner show you what it looks like. And there's plenty of videos on all of this and so many more updates, including revamped user interface and dark theme tweaks. Also, we have smarter notifications and auto do not disturb for full screen update installs from notifications, mic mute warnings, color and HDR tools have been added, HDR calibration wizards, color depth limiter, and extended format support has been added, and the Wayland support has also been expanded, which include relative tablet dials, idle notify, color representation, FIFO, top level tags, single pixel buffer protocols. This has all been added to help apps integrate better into Plasma's Wayland session. One of the best desktop environments out there. It's definitely exciting to see even more improvements to Plasma. Let me know what you think about it in the comment section below. What other features are you excited about? Let's talk about a Rust compiler performance survey for 2025. That's right, Rust is asking you about the long compile times of the Rust code that are frequently cited as one of the biggest challenges limiting productivity of Rust developers. They're trying to figure out how they're going to make the Rust compiler better. And this is a dedicated survey focused on compiler performance to better understand how the compile times are affecting developers. Basically, it's a 10-minute anonymous survey opened up until July 7th of 2025. I'll post a link in the description below if you want to be a part of this survey, but it is nice to see that Rust is focusing on making their compiler better. It is one of the biggest pain points. As Rust is known for its great safety and modern performance capabilities, it also comes with a cost. Longer compile times, especially for large and complex projects. This breaks flow, as by the time the compiler finishes, you can lose your focus or context that you are working with. It slows iteration. If you want to just tweak logic or debug something and then run a test, it might take too long to build. And things like a strong type system and zero cost abstractions are what really require more compile time here. And also features like duplicating code for each generic type are really heavy and can drastically increase compile time. Either way, if you've been working with Rust and you're unhappy about the compile times, let them know where they can improve. Now we get into some Xorg drama. As the Xorg security advisory has said, multiple security issues in Xorg, Xserver, and Xwayland. Basically, there are 6 security vulnerabilities and 6 CVEs that were issued, found all in Xorg server and Xwayland affecting versions prior to 21.1.17 and 24.1.7. These include things like out-of-bounds access in the X-Rendering extension, integer overflow in Big Requests extension, data leak in X-Fixes extension 6, unprocessed client requests via bytes to ignore, integer overflow in X-Record extension, and integer overflow in Rander extension. As X11 or XORG is still widely used by many Linux desktop environments, these bugs can lead to crashes, information leaks, or pure memory corruption. As these six major vulnerabilities have been disclosed, dating as far back as X11R6, which is early 2000s, it just kind of shows you how the development is slow and conservative nowadays on X11 and XORG, and often reactive more than proactive. This definitely intensifies the long-standing criticisms that patches take forever to merge, that there's low community momentum, and many devs have moved on to Wayland, but not one dev. In response to things like stagnation, Enrico Wegla actually forked off XORG recently. I spoke about this in more detail in a previous video, which you can check out. It's the last Linux news video. But basically, while XORG and X11 is out there reverting some of Enrico's contributions on X11, as they claim breakages have happened with them, there's a list of reverts happening. You could see it in the merge request for X server on the XORG project, and they include things like improper licensing and copyright handling, breakage of Rander functionality, incompatibility with NVIDIA drivers said by NVIDIA developers, and some lack of understanding for existing architectures that cause breakages as well. The claim here is Enrico hadn't been testing their code, instead just pushing a lot of it. Either way, we're definitely seeing some instability in XORG this week as they're trying to clean up their mess. We still haven't heard anything from the Code of Conduct Committee on why Enrico was banned from the XORG and X11 project, but with the new Xlibre XServer project, we'll see how this improves the stagnation. As a fork of XORG, will this be able to accelerate patch merging, modernize the code base, clean up the documentation and unmaintained areas of XServer, and potentially even open up doors to new contributors frustrated with XORG's slow governance? We'll see, as recent XORG vulnerabilities show us some bugs that just remain undiscovered for decades and how the review and release cycles are just slow. X11 Libre has a lot to go through before anyone adopts it, as it is extremely new and Wayland still seems to be the future. We'll see if things can turn around. Regardless, I want to hear about your thoughts in the comment section below. Don't forget to subscribe and smash that like button for me. Catch me in a great community on Discord, and I'll catch you in another video. Thanks for watching.